want to share a few items with you this afternoon. Discussion, and briefly about the Jimmy's efforts to give you some updates about where we are at Owas University. We have been working with the system office, Chancellor Davis, as one of the 10 task forces that he has appointed over the last few months, looking at all the emergency plans on the 35 campuses. We're working with Dr. Freeman, President of all the state, who's chairman of that particular task force. We've made some excellent progress. I think some of the projects that we've involved in Owas State University, specifically the one that I believe each of you has received this guide. I hope that you've had an opportunity to look through it because it gives you some excellent information about what you should do in case of a problem on this campus. And we are looking into some other measures. Jim Black has been looking at what other campuses are doing. We are thinking about bringing in consultants to take a look at the alarm system we have on campus and thinking about installing key places, which most people will not know about until one goes off. There will be a sort of standard alarm that will take place. Everyone will know immediately that they should. I want to say go into a lockdown mode, but at least precautionary systems would be in place. We have doubled the number of emergency phones on this campus over the last 2 years, there are now 35. We have brought student patrol on campus. They go on in the evening to stay until mid-morning, the 8 a.m. They travel this campus at those periods on all-terrain vehicles. We have done what we call walkabouts with student government leaders on an annual basis. You see a lot of new lighting on the campus. And it's interesting when you go on the campus late in the evening and walk with students and they point out particular areas of campus that might provide the less than safety, a safe environment. So we've made significant changes in the lighting on the campus. And something that we moved forward with in December of 2006, you may have been reading about some of the campuses that have this Connect-N software package. We purchased that in December of 2006. We have been pilot testing it over the past few months. It is a system that allows every cell phone, every home phone, every student, every faculty, every staff to be immediately notified if there's an emergency on this campus. What's interesting, a lot of people had not signed up. Just in one day, this past, I think it was yesterday, the day before, we had 1,251 people sign up. Office, make sure you get your information plugged into that software system. It will help you tremendously to help us in case of emergency. Now, as faculty, you are going to be facing a very difficult situation as we move into contemporary higher education. What do you do if you need to identify a student for help? If you follow the methodology of events of Virginia Tech, the individual was identified, the individual was encouraged to go to the Comprehensive Counseling Center. The young man did not follow up on it. At what point will our responsibility to the faculty, to the administration, to the Owas State University, how far do we push that? We're going to have to come to separate parents. I mean, we can't force the student to go this next particular step. It's a very serious question, and I believe we're going to be putting some workshops in place. Now, I'm not going to say we will mandate every faculty member to attend, but I'm going to this first round when we get them designed to encourage you to participate, get a good sense of what to look for, the strategies that you should employ as a faculty member. Follow through when you ask some questions about a student. I'm confident that Owas State is moving in a good direction. legislated to a point where he will be able to control every variable. I can't describe to you the number of telephone calls and emails that we've had concerning parents. They have been anywhere from excellent suggestions to rather bizarre. One suggested that every person who is not employed or registered student be barred from the campus. I mean, this would be every external person who attempted to walk onto the campus and say, through some kind of, I don't know, electronic zone, you can't pass it over the side. So I don't know how we prevent that. There was an interesting article transmitted by a parent from someone who's been doing a lot of research on shootings since the Columbine incident in Colorado. And it appears to be an increased number of these, and even to the point predicted that this one at Virginia Tech would happen within a time frame in which it happened. It may be time for us to take a look at some research and see where the strategy seems to lead us in terms of what we should do to help us to stay. I know you're all concerned about what happened. It hits home to our profession. We don't have a lot of control over such incidents, and yet we are responsible for doing something about it. As we proceed with our strategies on campus and our revised policies, we will be sharing those with you. As we conclude our spring semester, I expect when you come back in the fall, we will have new policies, new workshops, and some new activities for you to engage. And I hope that you will do that seriously, because this is a very challenging time in higher education. Later, in the academic report, Dr. Levy is going to give you a quick overview on the revision of core curriculum that the university system of Georgia Love, all 35 campuses, will be going through a core curriculum revision. You're probably going to hear some things you will not particularly agree with. But I want the minutes to reflect today that there will be, again, some challenging times ahead. What do we mean? There are some new rubrics coming into play, and some new ways that we're going to have to assess the core curriculum. There will be some very serious questions about what students learn. What are the outcomes that we expect of the core curriculum? How will they be assessed? There will be new templates for assessing student outcomes. It's a shift in some of the ways that you may have traditionally taught within the classrooms and how you constructed examinations. I believe that all of us say, as we always do, we'll step up and do an excellent job in revising our core curriculum. Dr. Levy has been working with the committee over the last year and a half. Sherry Browden has been chairing that committee. We are about ready to submit a report to the Faculty Senate and the faculty at large. I was talking with Lewis this morning about the opportunity for us to have a general faculty meeting this fall, where we dedicate the general faculty meeting to a good open discussion of the core curriculum at Valdosta State University. After you've had a chance to read the committee report and you see some of the new strategies coming out of the university system of Georgia, so we all work together as a faculty and adhere to the guidelines and go to come up with what I consider to be a contemporary model for curriculum creation. I know that you are there to do that. I know you are very capable faculty members in your own disciplines. I see some things coming about that we're going to have to build in issues such as how do we teach creative, innovative thinking in the core curriculum? How do we test that? That's not really been an active assessment strategy within core curriculum over the past few years, but we're going to have to show visual progress. Those types of things, and Dr. Levy will discuss a little bit more member away, I know that he will support our initiative. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kristen James, this evening, as your host today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, President Zachary. Let's begin with the reading of the proxies for today's meeting. Bob Williams for Bruce Castor, Eric Nielsen for Lyle Bigger, James LaPlante for Lily Calandrello, Kenny Ott for Patrick McGuire, Michael Lowell for Andreas Cesari, Rebecca Richardson Blake for Sherry Tillman, Jane Whitehead for Amy Aronson Friedman, Richard Smersing for Clemente Hudson. Are there any other proxies that I did not read?
Ralph Allen for John Gaston.
Ralph Allen for John Gaston.
Lars Leader for Duncan Watson.
Lars Leader for Duncan Watson.
Yaya Matson.
Yaya Matson. Thank you. Any others? Thank you very much. Next item will be approval of the minutes of March 22nd, Faculty Senate meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is a report from the Academic Committee. Lucy.
Indeed, criteria reference testing, national level testing, a whole series of ways of assessing the new core curriculum. So there are a lot of questions that many of us have about this process. Are we going to be then grading people, or are we going to be actually getting down to the business of assessing the core curriculum? I hope, of course, the latter is the focus of these rubrics. And so it's going to be an interesting time of it. And the regions, quite frankly, are not unified at this point about how we're going to proceed on this, but I can assure you they're going to do a workshop and have a retreat, and there will be some coming together about this, and I think it's just great that we're doing our general education assessment right now, and that we stand a chance of being right there, able to address their committee findings and recommendations as they come off the press, as they come out to the Board of Regents. So I ask your understanding, those of you that really like the present core curriculum and want to see it yellow with age and mellow with age, that kind of thing, and die a kind of natural death, which is in higher education about 100 years, I'm afraid it's not going to be that way. And so we have to be ready to address these new challenges, and I for one look forward to it with you. And so I love the idea of doing the retreat, looking at our basic education program and saying, what are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats to the core curriculum? All right, thank you for indulging me on that. Now let's move to the February 5th packet, and I will obviously move approval and go through this very quickly, and then you can vote. A lot of the changes, both in the majors and in education, have to do with Area F and the new major requirements for the Board of Regents that we have for teacher education certification. And so I'm going to jump over a lot of these curriculum changes under one umbrella and say these are the changes mandated by the regents for teacher education. Then in social work, if you look at item number 3, there's an increase of admission requirements. Our colleagues in social work are requiring more science education for admission to the MSW program. Thank you very much. You look at item number 4, College of Arts and Sciences. There is a clarification of the grading for academic proficiencies in the sociology program. There's also, they added a course in oceanography called Area D to expand the course offerings in that area. You go down to letter O, there's a change in the capstone course in physics, moved from 4 hours to 1 hour, and some of the learning outcomes is spread among the other courses. I think there's a revised minor, yes there is, in creative writing, to creative writing and contemporary literature. To look at that, that's an interesting change. Revised and a minor for women's studies and gender studies program, and some numerical changes in courses. Now on to the College of the Arts. There's a revised senior college curriculum for the BFA in art. It should be art education. I'll make that spelling correction, please. And also Dr. Riefel's name was misspelled in the minutes. Make that correction as being present. Julie, you were there. Under letter B, revised area F for the Bachelor's of Music Education and those board requirements. And revised admission to the Master's in Music Education. That you have to be certified before you're admitted to the Master's program. And then down to HH, under the College of the Arts, deactivation of the dance minor, emphasis rather, the BFA in theater arts, that's because we now have a major in dance. Remember, that's one of the new degree programs that's approved. And finally, in the arts, core area F, senior college requirement for the BFA in dance. Now on to the College of Education. They have added some technical courses, technology courses, to the Area D electives, which is allowed under the Board of Regents Area D. You recall that science, math, and technology. They have added technology. And finally, there are a number of other changes apropos of VOR. And finally, in the miscellaneous, I'm most happy to report that the academic committee recommends a change in the bylaws of the academic committee to allow the vice president to occasionally run that committee, but also to delegate that job to other people, such as the assistant BPAA. Some of you recall I ran it as assistant BPAA for about 5 or 6 years, and so we would technically, I guess, we need to change the bylaws to signify that. So I made the motion to approve, and unless there are questions or comments, I'll turn it back over to Dr. James to run the vote. Any questions? Thank you very much.
At this time, we have a motion from the academic committee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Next to the report, we have Jay Rickman for the committees.
Thank you. Just some quick information items. As of now, all of the colleges but one have held the initial Senate elections for senators. That term will start on August 1st, 2007 and run through July 31st, 2010. Also, this time, as we discussed earlier, the Committee on Committees sent out the committee request form to faculty for the BSU back email list. And faculty have until the 20th of April to return that to me because COGO is going to start meeting on April 26th to start making committee assignments for committees for this fall. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, the Institutional Planning Committee, James LaPlante.
The Institutional Planning Committee held its spring meeting on March 23rd. The committee is particularly appreciative of the decision of this body, which is to have one of our faculty senate representatives on the University Council be the chair of the IPC. So we appreciate your support in helping to establish strong connections between the IPC and the University Council. Mike Cole has updated our website. We appreciate him taking on that role to thank us. I want to thank you. And finally, we reviewed, provided some feedback on the environmental policy. A draft copy of the environmental policy was shared with all members of the University Council, and we circulated it throughout the IPC. And that's it. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Next, the Faculty Affairs Committee and our colleagues.
We met to discuss the faculty evaluation model, which you can look at in your packet. You received it, you met as stated in the last meeting, and we made a couple of friendly amendments that we thought clarifies the model. We received many comments that were in favor of this model, but, and what we attempted to do is meet in areas of consideration. Look at page 17 if you will. The main concern is that it's inflexible. So we added a footnote at the bottom clarifying what the model means so that whatever your department or college needs are, you should be able to make adjustments to address external accrediting models or so forth. And that's at the bottom of page 17. The other thing we did was to eliminate the needs improvement category, partly because we felt that was ambiguous. Some people said we all need improvement. And what we did instead was to make clear that it's applying to list areas of concern in the satisfactory section. in the unsatisfactory section of the evaluation, we asked the department head provide clear remediary instruction, and mainly so that nothing's ambiguous in the faculty evaluation. We hope this is friendly and solves all the problems that we discussed in our committee.
What we'd like to do now is take a vote on a motion from the Faculty Affairs Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Next up on page 2 of your agenda, we're going to be taking a look at Faculty Grievance Committee with Stephen Lahr. Any report?
After finding the key to the safety box, I have to say there is no report.
Fantastic! He's found. Next up, items for me. Our first. Hello, yeah?
Dr. Hopkins, and I strongly endorse friendly amendments, so we're supporting your vote on the new evaluation.
Do you have a question about that? Now that it's passed, how will the policy be promoted, published, and or disseminated? Will you have it up on the website?
That's in the faculty agenda. I assume I have no idea.
Who's going to tell you more about where it goes from here?
Once we get a clean copy, I'll sign it, and the president will sign it, and then we'll get it out on the website, which is where these things usually go, out on the Academic Affairs website, where the one is right now, actually. We'll replace it, and Dr. Rabbit and Lisa Copeland from my office will be assigned the job of making sure that all the amendments get in there, and that it's all clean. I think they're very straightforward amendments, and this is a case where, you know, I think this faculty, unlike many across the nation, have really shown what they're made of, because there are plenty of faculties that would have taken this on and it would be mired down in bureaucratic futures for 5 years. But so I think we will hope to act with as much diligence as the faculty senate has shown in analyzing the document. That's a long way around. I say to Lisa, we need to get this up as soon as we can. And keep in mind that it becomes effective the next go-around. In other words, we don't retroactively apply this model. It becomes effective the next year, next academic year.
Thank you. Next up, the Scheduling and Procedures Committee has a report.
Carolina.
office moves a Monday class day for the Department of the Cape holiday in the spring. Therefore, our proposed schedule starts on Monday, January 12th, because we believe that it's impractical, if not impossible, to begin classes on the same day that the university opens following our Christmas break, due to dorm move-in, fee payments, registration, new student orientation, etc. Even if we did start during that week, say on the 7th or 8th, it would still not solve the Monday class problem. Therefore, we voted to decide to ask the Board of Regents to allow us to designate our last class day as Monday, May 4th. That request was denied. Therefore, the committee decided that a designated makeup day would be the best approach. Now, keep in mind that this day is identified for instructors who have Monday classes that need to meet. However, we recognize that other assignments and or projects are also appropriate options, and that that decision would be left to the discretion of the instructor. With this background in mind, our committee unanimously presents the proposed calendar that you have before you for your consideration.
John Hummel?
I call the question, since discussion would probably have occurred numerous times in the past. Let's see if we get an up or down vote on this, and if we can't get an up or down vote on call the question, we'll discuss it.
Okay. Calling the question in order to pass requires a two-thirds vote. So at this point, I would like to ask us to do a voice vote and see if we can decide as two-thirds or not.
I would like to request a paper.
Paper has been requested, and I do have multiple sheets of paper.
It worked
fine. Then pass these around, please. Please put your sheets on the other side.
Christine, if we have a proxy.
If you have a proxy, go ahead and take two pieces of paper. I was like,
would you like to vote?
No more, you take off the paper.
No.
opposed, please raise your hands. If you have a proxy, please raise two hands.
Okay. item in your agenda about changes to the Oropiash retirement plans. Wanted to make sure that we shared that information with you. There's a very handy link at that particular point in the agenda. It's pages 112 to 113. If there are any questions about changes to the board contributions, please feel free to ask us. Next, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Louis Levy, elections.
Okay, what we're doing now is turn to the next item of business, which is election of an executive secretary for the VHU Faculty Senate. As you know, this is a very important and critical, actually, critically important position for the advancement of this university. The executive committee formed a recommending body to select or accept nominations for the executive secretary position, and so far we have had one candidate for the position, Dr. Christine James, and I believe we have a second person, did we not, for the position?
Was there someone else who wanted to run again? I'm not sure yet.
The floor is open for, we need to have at least two candidates. So the floor is now open, and we are ready as a nominations committee to accept any other nominations for this position. Even with our bylaws, we really should have at least one or two other candidates. Someone smiles very broadly, they will get by. Sorry?
I said, I'm assuming you can't have people that can't run for next year anyway.
It does need to be someone who's in the first or second year of their three-year term as a faculty member.
Right.
Christine, you've done such a wonderful job.
Oh,
and she
you.
Really has, I think, running this faculty senate. I commended her earlier today that nobody thinks they can fill your shoes.
That's really sweet of you to say. Thank you.
I move the nomination to be closed and Dr. James to be accepted by acclamation.
I think you're second. Ordinarily, that would be out of order, but coming from you, that's been a year of retirement preparation, and if you could get very even with us next year, I accept that motion, and I thought I heard a second. Thank you. Been moved and seconded that it vote by acclamation. Any objection to that? I believe that's a proper procedure. Seeing none, we wish to congratulate Dr. Christine James on being recommended by acclamation for the position of Executive Secretary. Congratulations.